Moncrief on News Talk.
Starting this July, Ireland will assume the presidency of the EU Council for 6 months, which in practical terms means much of official Europe will be coming here. There'll be hundreds of meetings, conferences and events attended by tens of thousands of people. So is this of any real functional benefit to this country? Andrew Ford is Commissioner of the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission. Afternoon, Andrew.
Hi, Sean. Good to speak to you.
So next July, when people are sitting in traffic jams while these convoys swoop past them, what's in it for them?
Look, it's a huge opportunity. Ireland takes over the presidency of the Council of the European Union from July. This is something that comes around once every decade or 13 or 14 years. And that's why it's so important. It'll put Ireland right at the very heart of shaping and advancing policy at the European Union level. And that's why we're investing so much into it. Ireland's investing something in the order of 300 million euros to take over this presidency. It's going to touch upon a whole range of public policy issues that are relevant to Ireland, from trade to defence to agriculture to environment and so on. So there's really something in it for everyone. It's a question really, I suppose, about how Ireland chooses to frame its priorities. We won't know that until June. And I suppose one can also safely say, given what we've seen recently, that a lot of the priorities will be shaped by factors that are, you know, out of Ireland's control in terms of the transatlantic relations and so on and so forth, the broader environment.
But does Ireland have exclusive power in shaping the agenda, in the sense that if Germany or France want to talk to us about something, I'd imagine that would have to be taken into account?
Absolutely. No, Ireland, really, the role is to be an honest broker, to be above the domestic and to really focus on the European, to try to reconcile the views of different member states. And that will be particularly important when it comes to issues like the first round of negotiations around the future budget of the European Union, the so-called multi-annual financial framework, which will come during Ireland's presidency. And also other issues, thorny issues like the Digital Fairness Act. You know, we've seen what's been developing in the last number of days around Grok, AI and social media, and in terms of finding ways to balance the need for regulation, the absolutely fundamental need for more regulation, without stifling business more generally. And I think that touches on the broader kind of economic issue. But certainly from Ireland's perspective, it's not about only advancing Ireland's views. It's really about trying to find a way forward that addresses the broader views of all member states.
Yeah, but that would be the case no matter where it took place.
It would. I suppose what's different here is that Ireland will be chairing the vast majority of the meetings across the policies, the spectrum. Many of those meetings will be taking place in Ireland, where it seems likely that Ireland will host an informal meeting of the European political community. That means heads of state in Ireland. More than 22 ministerial meetings will be held in Ireland. And over 300 other kinds of meetings. Now, that's a massive opportunity for Ireland, but it also brings a kind of a practical and a diplomatic challenge. On the one hand, hosting all of those very high-level meetings in Ireland, when we're already being scrutinised for our laissez-faire approach to defence. We saw that when there was the drones flying around when President Zelensky was in Dublin. That's a serious operational challenge for Ireland. But also there's a diplomatic challenge. On the one hand, it's how you reconcile the various views. We know that not all member states are on the same line on various issues. Certain countries like Hungary and Slovakia and so on are taking a more distant approach to the EU values, maybe seeking to undermine them in certain ways. And then there's also the question about, you know, the future role of the EU in Ukraine and areas that Ireland has been showing great leadership on, but are difficult issues that are dependent a lot on progress outside of Ireland and the approach, for instance, of the American president and the American administration, which is highly unpredictable and highly risky, I would say, for the European Union at the moment.
Yeah, and you did mention the budget there, and it's looking like at least a larger than before portion of that budget is going to be put towards defence, so defence arrangements. Yet a neutral country that doesn't really want to have anything to do with that will be trying to divvy out that money. That seems kind of a bit inappropriate.
You could say that, Sean. I mean, and I think it is, we need to have a grown-up conversation about defence in this country. I mean, there seems to be a misconception that neutrality means that we shouldn't invest in defence. In fact, it means the exact opposite. If we're a neutral country, we should be doing a lot more when it comes to defending our neutrality and ensuring that we're not misused. And I do think that there's a bit of a credibility gap for Ireland when it comes to that issue of discussing the future investment in defence when we're seen as a bit of a laggard, I think, in areas of defence. Though, in fairness, the government has taken fairly decisive action recently to try to address that. I think more generally, there is a question around Ireland's, putting its money where its mouth is, living by the values that it subscribes to. So what Ireland does domestically is also really, really important, both now and in the process of the actual presidency itself. So a couple of things come to mind. I mean, one issue is that question of the regulation of social media companies and big tech. That's an urgent issue now. And Ireland, of course, has done a lot on that front, but has been accused of being very slow, been a bit lackadaisical when it comes to those issues. Now we need to see this as an urgent issue in terms of the care and well-being of our young people. A second issue, Sean, would be just in terms of Ireland's approach to EU values more generally. In the same breath as us planning for the presidency, in December, we joined a group of 27 states making a statement which really seeks to undermine the European Convention on Human Rights and the European Court of Human Rights. It seems to suggest that, for example, migrants have too many human rights and states should have more of a hand in terms of expelling foreign criminals and so on. This is problematic for three reasons, I would say. One, it's problematic factually because it says that the European Court of Human Rights ties the hand of states. It does not. States are free to deport foreign criminals. The level of cases is very small in any event. So it's really quite a fallacy on that front. Secondly, though, it also fans the flames of intolerance. It literally puts migrants at risk because it says that it conflates them with criminals. And thirdly, at a time when we see that the rules-based international order is under threat, this simply adds to that erosion of the rules-based order. So I would really urge Ireland to not only step back from the brink on this front, but in actual fact, to seek to put human rights, democracy and the rule of law right at the heart of the EU presidency.
Yeah, I suppose as well, people might think, they look around the world and what they might see is three superpowers, Russia, China and the United States, essentially attempting to carve up the world between them. Whereas we're having kind of nice meetings and talk and being kind of more huggy and nobody really, or less and less international powers care what Europe thinks.
I think actually the contrary is probably true in the sense of the perspective should be that, yes, we are, we have entered a new dawn where international law is really being questioned by the superpowers. We seem to be moving back to this Monroe Doctrine, spheres of influence, and so on and so forth. But if that is the fact, then I think that's all the more reason for us to be resolute about the European project, to use this opportunity to consolidate Europe, to make it a stronger power militarily in defence terms, but also socially in terms of how we ensure that this is a prosperous economy, but one that has a social conscience and support, and that human rights and democracy principles are right at the heart of it. That is the brave new world we're entering, and we need to ensure that Europe is strong in that regard. Now, when it comes to the presidency, it is clear that there are major, major issues, existential issues for Europe ahead of us. And the first and foremost being Ukraine and what happens in terms of peace in Ukraine, but more importantly, the future security arrangements and rebuilding of Ukraine. And then in addition to that, we also see the discussion at the moment regarding US ambitions in Greenland. And the implications are enormous if we are to head down a road where the US seeks to pursue that further. It could mean the end of NATO as we know it. And I think that, again, all of these arguments speak to consolidating and focusing on a strengthened Europe, not giving up on the project, but really trying to enhance Europe's effectiveness, efficiency, and its focus on people, democracy, and the rule of law.
Yeah. But also, is there room there for perhaps Ireland to say, come on, lads, we need to start pushing back now? because so far, everything, particularly the American administration, has done, Euro's policy has been, we'll just kind of tread softly around this. Asher, he'll be gone in a few years, hopefully, and things will go back to normal. But we don't know if that's true.
We saw this really clearly, Sean, in the last few days when Maduro was kidnapped from Venezuela and brought to America. I mean, this is an egregious breach of the UN Charter and the Statute of the Organization of American States. And the response of Ireland was lukewarm, I would say, to express some sort of concern, but in a very wishy-washy way. I get it. We are enormously dependent on US investment. 20% of our jobs, a third of our tax receipts. We are militarily neutral without any real possibility to fully defend ourselves. We don't want to offend the sensibilities of the American president at the moment, but that's that kind of sitting on the fence approach just won't fly when we're in the presidency. And I think we do need to find a spine when it comes to fundamental questions without necessarily, offending to the extent that it causes major problems. I appreciate this is a bit of a tightrope walk, but in fairness to Ireland, and the Irish government deserves credit for this, we have shown great leadership when it comes to issues like Ukraine and Gaza. We have put ourselves on the line in many ways. Our diplomats and our ministers and our government have faced quite serious repercussions, and yet we have been steadfast and resolute in defending values in those cases. We need to continue that, and we need to not be afraid to stand up for values and try to find that line between being principled and being pragmatic without necessarily offending and causing too much of a backlash, but also not sitting on the fence. It's really, really important.
And of course, our presidency is some months away, so God knows what will have happened in relation to Ukraine or even Greenland at that stage. But all those things all those things you said there, Andrew, when we assume the presidency, we have to be even more neutral, do we not? So we can't actually take a stance in those things. We're trying to bring all the other people together, or all the other countries together, who may well have conflicting views on these issues.
That's true. And in some cases, it might mean that we have a stronger position that we have to articulate than we normally do. It cuts both ways. It's true that we need to be above domestic politics, so to speak, when we're in the presidency. And we need to take that role that is acceptable right across the European Union. That sometimes can be a challenge because, of course, we have some actors within the European Union that simply want to see it weakened and are deferential to the Russian Federation, for example, when it comes to Ukraine. So Ireland is going to face a challenge in that respect in trying to find that appropriate line. But as I said, it cuts both ways. There are some issues, for example, defence and military and the future security arrangements of Ukraine, where we might be out of our comfort zone. And I think that is something we need to get used to. I have great faith, I have to say, in Ireland's ability to do that, though, in the context of Ukraine, because we have been so consistent around the territorial integrity, the sovereignty, and the future stability and prosperity, hopefully, of Ukraine in due course. The whole question of accountability of Russia is another issue that needs to be dealt with. And Ireland is showing some good initiatives and some strong political focus on that at the Council of Europe. But again, these are all issues that will emerge and will develop depending on how discussions go between Russia and the United States and Ukraine in the coming weeks and months.
Andrew Ford is Commissioner of the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission. Andrew, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Sean.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.